said, well, let's say hello to Jonathan Davis from NHL Network Radio on a Friday to go inside hockey. Jonathan joins us right now. Hello, Mr. Davis. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. And
how is life in Calgary, huh?
It's going. Flames talk is not super positive right now. So, you know,
but isn't that good radio, though?
It definitely makes for heated and good radio. There's no doubt about that. Gives us lots to talk about. You and we were thinking maybe having you on last night, but you know, you had like 14 games to watch and then you had ice cap to do that night. So probably better you did your job. Today just the one, so it's a little easier to have you on today. There is lots happening south of the border. Let's start in your neck of the woods in Southern California and the LA Kings. Look who's leading the league in assists and right there at the top of the NHL in points.
Yeah, it's been a great start to the season for Anze Kopitar. And Pat, I'll tell you, I think it's maybe the quietest 11 assists in the NHL in quite some time. You know, there's nothing that's dazzling about Anze Kopitar's game. He doesn't, you know, he's not going to break you down like Connor McDavid or Nathan MacKinnon, or, you know, he doesn't have the speed of a Mitch Marner, but man, there's just, you know, he just plays a very smart and effective game like he's done throughout his career. And it's helped the Kings, you know, to be hovering around that, you know, NHL 500 mark. But Kopitar definitely looks, I would say, energized from having, you know, not playing since, the middle of March.
So take us back to last night. How many defensemen were the Kings left with by the end of that hockey game?
Four. They were, yeah, it was brutal. I mean, so Matt Roy was the first one to go down, a 5-minute major boarding penalty to Kevin Fiala, who was handed a 3-game suspension today. I'll be honest with you, I didn't think it was going to be three, but that's, you know, I'm not here to debate it, but that was the first one to go down, and that was in the first or second period. And then Sean Walker was on the receiving end of a Matt Dumba slap shot. And if you can go check out the pictures on Twitter. It is not a very pretty sight. And Dumba was definitely, you know, visibly shaken. I mean, the play essentially just stopped. I mean, nobody really wanted to do anything, even though the Wild run a power play. Everybody just, you know, was so concerned for the health of Walker, who, I mean, you know, he had, you know, essentially one eye shut and stitches, you know, in his face. And I mean, he looked like he went maybe 10, you know, a couple of rounds with Conor McGregor. It wasn't pretty.
Yeah. No, we've seen, we've been talking about it back here off the air. That, that is not a pretty look. That's an ugly look, but that's a warrior. There's no doubt about
it. It's a Halloween costume.
It really is. It really is. So he looks like he's been through it. What's happening with Andreas Athanasiou?
Well, Andreas Athanasiou, and then earlier today, the Kings also announced that his line mate, Blake Lizotte, are both on the COVID protocol list. So, you know, for now, they're not traveling. They can't practice. And it just puts the Kings, you know, two people down and two people in Lizotte and Athanasiou, you know, who have been big contributors to this team. I mean, Athanasiou, you know, came in and, you know, he had the great start, you know, goals in his first three games. And the line with him and Jeff Carter and Blake Lizotte has been a good and productive line for L.A. So, you know, depending upon how long they're gone, the Kings don't play again until next week. They've got I think it's 5 days off, so they may not miss much time. But you know, this is just the reality of 2021 and the NHL season.
LA Kings, though, through the first couple weeks of the season, they have not been the walkovers that a lot of people thought they were going to be.
They haven't. There's no question. I mean, this is a team that, you know, we saw at the end of last year. They had that 7-game win streak to close it out. And they make you earn your victories. And, you know, if they could have played a little smarter, you know, you think, you know, you look back at their first two games this year, they had 3-1 leads going into the third period in both those games, only to lose to the Minnesota Wild 4-3 in overtime in both contests. So, you know, they could be sitting with a far better record than they currently are. But that's some of the growing pains of, you know, a team that on the back end, you know, is very inexperienced. It's Drew Doughty and, you know, a lot of kids. They had hoped that Olli Maatta would be able to come in and play with Drew on the top pair. It didn't last very long. I'm not sure why they felt Olli Maatta could play on the top.
You called that prior to the season.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that was just it wasn't fair to Olli Maatta. He could be playing. He could be in this lineup, but slotted in, you know, as a third pairing guy, and I think be very effective. So, you know, that's been the struggle. I mean, LA has scored 25 goals in 8 games for that, which is, you know, hey, look, you're talking at, over 3 goals a game. The problem is they've given up 26. So, you know, it's not a matter that Jonathan Quick or Cal Peterson haven't played well. It's just a team that, you know, is still trying to figure things out in their own zone with a very young decor.
Jonathan Davis is with us, NHL Network Radio. We're taking a spin around some of the U.S. teams. We're so focused on the North Division. Lots of interesting stories with the, the other 24 teams in the NHL.
I will tell you. I mean, I think I may have said it before. I mean, for me, like, truth be told, North Division to me is number one. U.S. West is number two. But I don't blame, you know, people in Canada who are immersed in that North Division. It's phenomenal hockey.
It really has been to this point. It's been it's been weird because I'm not used to being as checked out is the wrong word, but you're not quite as dialed in on the other teams. But at the same time, you can totally understand why. Tell us about the San Jose Sharks, where that offense has hit a bit of a power outage recently.
It's struggled. I mean, you know, and for the Sharks, are going to have some time to work through some things because their games next week, February 1st and 3rd, which are supposed to be their home openers, that were moved to Arizona, have now been postponed because of what's going on with the Golden Knights and COVID. And so they're going to wait until February 5th when they play in Anaheim. But yeah, it's been a struggle. I mean, it's, you know, 22 goals in 8 games, but 31 against, and that -9, you know, it's been a struggle. They've had 3 games this year already where they've been held to a goal or less. So I know Bob Bugner was hoping to mix some things up for last night. They played Colorado tough for 40 minutes. They got good goaltending from Devin Dubnyk last night, but, you know, there's just not enough there. And I also wonder, Pat, you know, for them, it's 8 games all on the road. It's been training camp on, you know, in Arizona. I just wonder mentally, you know, they've got to be fatigued. This is just not the way you want to start things off. It's one thing to start the season off with an 8-game road trip. And I mean, we've seen teams do that in the past, but to have your whole training camp, you know, outside of your home city, I think that, you know, that has to play into part of what's going on with the Sharks.
Yeah. And the postponements kind of robbed us of an interesting story that we could have seen, but we won't we won't see that now. And that was, you know, Peter DeBoer and if he was ready to coach and all that type of stuff. But they have postponed those games between San Jose and Vegas. So let's move to Anaheim, who have 3 wins on the season, and 2 of those 3 wins have come by 1 similar score.
Yeah, 1-0. It's a team that's, you know, really starved for offense. And, you know, unlike San Jose that has, you know, guys, you know, some elite players and, you know, legit number one, you know, top line players, you know, Anaheim doesn't have that. Ricard Raquel, Jakob Silverberg, Adam Henrique, Danton Heinen, you know, I haven't even got to Ryan Getzlaff, you know. None of the names that I mentioned are guys that even Getzlaff are someone that you're going to have on your number one line today. It's just they're not at that level. So everybody on that roster has had to basically play, you know, above their pay grade. And I think that it is in some ways, I don't know if it's stagnated or in any way, you know, the likes of a Troy Terry or a Max Jones or Sam Steele or Max Comtois, guys that, you know, young kids that they were counting on, but they don't have that number one line per se that can allow the other guys to kind of slot in properly. And so it has been a huge struggle. I mean, John Gibson has been absolutely outstanding. He kind of reached a bit of a boiling point in last night's game, and he tackled Connor Garland after, you know, shortly after the Coyotes had gone up 3-2 late in the game. And how could you blame him? I mean, you know, 14 goals in 8 games. I mean, they've only given up 17, but, you know, he's got like he's got to stop everything for them to have a chance to win.
At least they scored their first power play goal last night.
Yeah. Hey, welcome. You know, they entered the group of, yeah, they became the last team in the NHL to score a power play goal.
The 31 team club now.
Yeah, they are part of that 31 team club. So God bless them. But yeah, you know, look, it really is tough times. And so, you know, when we talked earlier, you know, before the season started, and I thought that San Jose would be the best team out of California, there's no question, at least in the early going, that moniker goes to L.A. And, you know, I mean, L.A. is split with Colorado. They split with St. Louis. Before I pass judgment, though, Pat, on where this division is going, you know, I really want to see the big boys play against each other. I thought the St. Louis-Vegas game a couple of nights back was just that was great hockey. It was just up and down, and you know, we had 8 goals. The game went to a shootout, and Pacioretty had the hat trick. I mean, Vegas looked thoroughly engaged, far more than I thought they did, you know, in their earlier games against Arizona and Anaheim. And I think that that's what we're going to see when the big three play against each other. I just kind of wonder if they're taking some of the other teams, you know, a little lightly.
Well, let's go there. Jonathan Davis is with us, NHL Network Radio. Let's go to both St. Louis and Vegas and dive in on some of the storylines there. From a St. Louis standpoint, they definitely were able to up their game after not looking so good on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I mean, Craig Berube was thoroughly frustrated with his team in their game before Vegas. You know, he just talked about the lack of compete. And you know, they had scratched Vince Dunn in that game. And when you're scratching Vince Dunn in a game, you know, especially against the Golden Knights, you know, that's twofold. I mean, one, it's you're sending a statement to the kid that you got to be better. And two, you know, are you, you know, there have been rumors that he is on the trade market. I don't know how they do that, Pat. I mean, you look at that blue line right now and, you know, it's Torey Krug, it's Justin Falk, it's Colton Parayko. You know, it's still a drop-off, a big drop-off, I think, from, you know, last year when, you know, you had Bomeister and Pietrangelo in the mix. So I don't know how you move Dunn unless you're getting another legit, you know, guy who can play in your top four. But, you know, that was a bit of a head-scratcher. We'll see where it goes. And for me, you know, when you watch the Blues, it's just keep your eye on the Schwartz, Shen and Kyrou line, because that's been the line that's carried this team in the early going. They have been dominant in most of their games.
Why? Have you been able to get to the bottom of? I mean, I guess it comes down to utilization and all that type of stuff. But the Vince Dunn thing has been weird, going all the way back to the offseason when he wasn't signed. That seems like it's turned oddly sour very quickly.
Yeah, it was a really nasty negotiation from my understanding. I mean, you know, I've never had to negotiate with Doug Armstrong, but I know that it's my understanding. There's not a lot of negotiating that's going on, and especially when you're an RFA and you know, you don't hold the hammer. You know, there's not a lot of wiggle room, but, you know, he was looking for closer to $2 million deal. I think, you know, when you look at his numbers and the comparables, I think he got a fair offer, but I don't know if that's something that is lingering still. But look, this is a guy that had you know, he was in such high regard, especially last season, that I just don't know why you would give up on a guy like Vince Dunn right now, unless there's something, you know, that we don't know. And as you know, as we say, the teams know their players better than we do. And so We'll see where this is going. I hope this is more, you know, just a kick in the pants to say to Vince Dunn that, you know, you can't rest on your laurels from the previous year.
In Vegas, as we're now into the big three in the NHL's West Division. In Vegas, the latest addition to their COVID protocol list is a pretty big one.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Pietrangelo on that list. So, with their games postponed, they're not going to necessarily have to play as much salary cap gymnastics. We'll see where things go when Vegas does resume play. But they, look, we've talked before. I mean, they're a team that's up against it. They've had to go, 11. They've gone 12 and 5?
Yep.
Or 13-5. I'm sorry, 13.
That's right.
13-5, and you can't put, if you decide to put Pietrangelo on IR for some reason, what, he's got to miss, was it 7 games or 10 games? So we'll see where it goes. Hopefully, he's talked about the fact Pietrangelo has that, I think he's asymptomatic. So hopefully by the time that Vegas starts again, that he will be back in the lineup. But, they look good, and their best players have been their best players. So that's definitely an encouraging sign for Vegas. But the other, the one surprise has been Marc-Andre Fleury, and maybe that shouldn't be a surprise, but he's gotten off to a great start. He's won all three of his games. He's got all three of his starts, and he has a shutout and, goals against average of 1. So I don't know. Do we have a goalie controversy again? Let's just follow Alan Walsh's Twitter feed and we'll see.
Yeah, because Robin Lehner's numbers have not been anywhere near as good. And then finally in Colorado, I see that Cale Makar has picked up where he left off last year.
Yeah, Cale Makar, has had a great run. One news that came out today in Colorado is Pierre-Édouard Bellemare is going to be out for an extended period of time. So he joins Matt Calvert, who went on IR dealing with concussion issues. But Bellemare suffered a knee injury last night. Not season-ending, according to Jared Bednar, but one that will keep him out for an extended period of time. Last night, I think, was a big night, for their second line. I mean, Jared Bednar has sat down with the line of Barakovsky, Kadri, and Saad, and just talked about, that they need more from them. And Kadri potted a pair last night, and that's what they need because they've been carried offensively pretty much by the top line. Mikko Rantanen's got 6 goals, and Landeskog and MacKinnon are off to a good start, though MacKinnon's only got 2 goals, and he hasn't scored in his last 4, but he's done everything else really well. But that second line, which they really counted on, and when they brought in Nazem Kadri, this is what they were looking for. So, I'm waiting for when Colorado plays, St. Louis and Vegas. And I think that's, to me, it will be a better judge of where they're really at.
And finally in Colorado, Philip Grubauer, numbers are strong. Looks like the start has been pretty strong between the pipes.
Yeah. There's so much question. And I was one of them saying, God, I'm surprised Joe Sakic didn't, look for another goalie in the off season, but Grubauer's done nothing to disappoint. And goals against average is below 2, in watching their games, even when you look back at the games that they've dropped this year, I wouldn't say that Grubauer's been the issue by any stretch of the imagination. He's played really, really well for them. So it's an encouraging sign. And, look, they've outscored their opponents by 10 this year. I think maybe Montreal's the only team that's got a bigger goal differential. I think it's 13. So, Colorado is doing all the right things, and that defense is really good. And then, you look 2 nights ago, who logged the most ice time out of any player? Bowen Byram.
Yeah, which is, again, Cale Makar is already there, and now Bowen Byram's logging all this.
Yeah.
Embarrassment of riches. It's not even fair what they've been able to work up there.
And
it's
what the one thing that what Colorado hasn't had this year? A goal that's gone off a defenseman's leg, skate, butt, anything like that.
Yeah.
You know what that's like.
We do know what that's like here. Jacob Markstrom specifically.
I felt bad for Uso last night. I mean, that, there was another bad break for Riddick and for Valimaki on that second Canadiens goal that was going wide until it hit Valimaki's stick.
Great stuff, my friend. It's good to chat with you as always, Jonathan. We'll do it again next week. Thank you, brother.
All right, take care. Have a great weekend, Pat.